Amen. What is the title of the sermon series we are in? Anybody know? Faith That Works. In the book of what? James. Exactly right. Been walking through the book of James. Very practical book for Christians, helping us understand how we handle life and life situations. And this morning is just as practical as every other week. But to begin with, this morning, we're going to play a little Jeopardy. Anybody like Jeopardy? Yeah. All right. We're going to play Jeopardy, and the first area of questions will be this. Biblical terminology for 5,000. Okay? Biblical terminology for 5,000. Who wants to play? Oh, we don't have any players. Too bad. Everybody's going to get to play. And it's... Thank you, Ramona. Thank you, Ramona. So what we do is we have the answer first, and then you've got to guess the question, right? It's backwards. It messes with my mind, but this is what we're going to do. So here is the answer. The right or proper use of knowledge. Now, just think. The right... Robert, thank you, sir. And to put it in proper Jeopardy terminology, we would say, what is wisdom? Y'all are doing good. At least Robert is doing well. Robert's playing well. Second question or answer is this. A person who lives by wisdom. Think. Don't blurt it out yet, Robert. Let's see if anybody else is playing. Raise your hand if you think you might know what the question is to the answer. Nobody? Robert, do you know? My goodness, Robert, you are great. What is a wise person? Okay? What is a wise person? Who is wise? Who is wise among us this morning? That's kind of the question we need to be asking ourselves. Who is it among us that is a wise individual? It will be somebody who's living by God's wisdom. The proper use of knowledge is wisdom. The right or proper use of knowledge. It's one thing to have knowledge here. It's another thing to properly use it, right? And when we're living out the wisdom of God, we will be considered as wise people. I want you to turn your Bibles to James chapter 3. Beginning there in verse 13, James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, looking at lives by God's wisdom. If you find that passage of Scripture, stand with me, please. If you didn't bring a Bible with you this morning, you're visiting with us, there's a Bible provided in the pew in front of you. You can take that out and turn to page 658. Page 658, and you'll find James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Who is wise and has understanding among you? He should show his works by good conduct with wisdom's gentleness. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't brag and deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where envy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every kind of evil. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without favoritism and hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you as the only one who has the answers to life's greatest questions. The only one who has complete and total understanding of all circumstances or situations. God, we realize this morning that if we have a faith that works, it will be a faith that lives by the wisdom that comes from you. Help us, Father, as we walk through this passage of Scripture, that, Lord, we might be attentive to your Holy Spirit, that you might remove distractions from our presence, that we might ultimately hear from you. It's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Do you mind sitting next to her? Two rows behind you. So, if we're thinking about who is wise, James in every one of these sections asks a very pertinent question. The question this morning is, who is wise? Who is wise? Would you this morning consider yourself wise, a wise individual? Would you consider yourself an individual who's living by wisdom, that you're properly applying knowledge and understanding to your life? Well, he then goes on, as he does in every single one of these instances, when he asks a question, he then begins to answer it for us. Who is wise and has understanding among you? He should show it how? By good works, by conduct with wisdom's gentleness. So, if you are wise, James is saying, okay, if you would classify yourself as a wise individual, okay, then show it. Prove it with your attitude and with your conduct. It will be evident with your life whether or not you are a wise individual. Where does this wisdom come from? We can look at several different places. We'll look at three different Proverbs, and one New Testament passage of Scripture. I want you to jot these references down as you see them come across the screen and look back at them later, because these will help you understand if you are following after the Lord and finding yourself as a wise individual, because this is where it comes from. This is the origination of knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Psalm 111, verse 10. Let me just give you a little heads up. Some of you type A personalities are bent out of shape at this point. Sorry. This point got added after the bulletin got printed, okay? So if you're trying to find a spot to write this down, it's going to have to be somewhere else because we're not to that point yet. This is additional to what you have in your sermon note sheet. So just to throw that out there, because some of you are panicking. I know I can read it on your face. I'm one of you. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. And all who follow His instructions have good insight. His praise endures forever. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So where do you want to start to be a wise person? What do you have to do? Fear the Lord. It is the beginning. It's not a college or an institution that you go to begin this. It is following the Lord. The beginning of knowledge and wisdom is following the Lord. And to follow His, what? Instructions. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says this. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. However, fools, not wise individuals, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So the one individual who desires that he's going to be a wise person and follow after wisdom is someone who fears the Lord and follows the Lord's instructions. However, there are three categories found in the Proverbs. There's the wise person, there's the scoffer, and there's the fool. And we don't have time to get into all three of those because those are three separate sermons for another day. However, the fool is mentioned here. And that is an individual who turns up their hand and says, I have no need for God. I have no need for God or His instructions. I've got this figured out all on my own. So the beginning of knowledge and wisdom is found in the fear of the Lord, but the fool despises all of them. Proverbs 9, verse 10 says this. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Are you detecting a pattern here? I hope so. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. A New Testament passage is Colossians 2 and verse 3. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Him. Any idea who the Him is here? It's capital H, which means it's probably referring to specifically Jesus Christ. The theme, the overall theme of the book of Colossians is Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. I don't need anyone or anything else because Jesus is enough. And we can go through that, and we will one day walk through that book and find that in every area of life, there are things that will come to the surface to try to tell us, if I just have more of this, I'll have enough. But the reality is, Jesus all by himself is enough. And in this section, it's referring to knowledge and understanding and wisdom. All knowledge, all wisdom, and all understanding are found where? In Jesus Christ. He is where we start. This morning, the rest of this message makes no sense to you unless you begin with this verse. Unless you've begun this morning with the understanding that I have nothing if I don't have Jesus. And if I have Jesus, I have everything I need. Everything I need is found in Him. If you come at the rest of this message with a contrary understanding, then you won't get it. Because it all wraps up in the reality that when we have Jesus, we have a relationship with God, and the beginning of knowledge and wisdom is found where? In the fear of the Lord, in a right relationship with God. And if you don't have that, you ain't got nothing. Hello? Y'all tracking with me? Good, because now the sermon starts. As we look in verse 14 and following, to live by wisdom from the world within and below. So let's picture this. You've got some kind of ailment going on, and you're not quite sure what it is, and so you show up at the doctor, and the doctor does some tests, and lots of tests, and more tests, and after they do the test, they come at you with this diagnosis. It's a rare diagnosis. Not a lot of people have this, but you're the blessed one who has this diagnosis. And he comes at you with two options. Sir, ma'am, I have this medication for you. And this medication will certainly make you feel better within 30 minutes of taking this medication. The symptoms you're having from this condition that you have will be instantly gone in 30 minutes. The problem is it won't last very long. It'll be for a short period of time, but it will feel really good in the moment. There's one option laid before you, and we find that in this passage of Scripture. For when individuals find themselves living by wisdom from the world, it provides momentary satisfaction that may feel really good for that moment, but it's not going to last very long. As we look into what James has to say here about this kind of wisdom, it's not very pleasant. Verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't brag and deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from above, but is what? Earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where envy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every kind of evil. So I want to break this down. Verse 15 reveals that this wisdom has a source. And there are three different areas that this source of wisdom originates. First is earthly. What is worldly? What is of this world? When the Bible refers to what is earthly or worldly, it is a system that lives in direct opposition to God. So anytime you see that mentioned in Scripture, it means that it's defining something or a system, an ideology, a way of living that is in complete contradiction. Not partially, not halfway, not just a little bit, but in complete contradiction to the way God would have us to live. In fact, it's summed up in a little slogan used by Burger King for a while, maybe still uses it. Have it your own way. You can be your own king or queen, right? I mean, you can just show up and have it your way. And that's what this worldly system is all about. It's about having it your way and having it now. It's about living by things that are in direct opposition to God. It is earthly. It is unspiritual, which means it is fleshly. It is natural of this world. It is self-promoting. It is looking deep within you and letting your sin-fallen senses drive you. Because it's what the world tells us to do, to look into the mirror, determine how you feel, and drive after that thing. We're going to go by our senses and our emotions, which all have been tainted by sin, and all are fickle and change as the wind blows. Yet the world will tell us, and this wisdom that we sometimes originates in our lives comes from an unspiritual, a very fleshly, natural place, that we're driven to do things by how our senses make us feel. In contradiction to everything else, maybe, but it doesn't really matter because we're going to do what makes us feel good. And the third source of this wisdom is what? Demonic. The last part of verse 15 says that it is demonic. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's only two sources of wisdom, right? I mean, there's only two powers at play. You're either with God or you're against Him. You're either with the enemy or you're with God. It's one or the other. So if this wisdom doesn't originate from God, it ultimately has to originate from the enemy. It is demonic. It is from the fallen one, from Satan himself, and he desires us to apply this wisdom to accomplish, ultimately, catch this, to accomplish, ultimately, his purposes. He is here to kill and destroy you. That's his purpose. And it finds its origin all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. What happened in Genesis chapter 3? Sin entered the equation, didn't it? Sin entered the equation. It enters the equation as Satan is trying to apply his ungodly wisdom to Eve as she approaches the tree they're not supposed to eat from, right? The conversation goes on, and we find these words from the enemy in Genesis 3, 4, and 5. "No, you will not die," the serpent said to the woman. "In fact, God knows that when you eat from, that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So the enemy is bringing before Eve some ungodly, some sensual information, some wisdom that comes only from him to accomplish whose purpose? His agenda is to rob God of the glory that he deserves. And this is where the spiral starts. So this wisdom, its source is earthly, it's unspiritual, and it is demonic. And it has some characteristics. We find that in verse 16. Verse 16 says, "But if you have bitter envy, selfish ambition in your heart," these are characteristics, ladies and gentlemen, of following after a wisdom that's not from our Heavenly Father. Envy or bitterness, jealousy, seeing what someone has and desiring it. Seeing what someone else has and desiring for yourself so that they don't have that any longer. I was driving uptown in Magnolia. There is opportunity to go uptown in Magnolia. My wife thought that was the funniest thing when she came to visit. "We're going to go uptown." "You mean you're going to go to E-Town?" I mean, because there ain't no town where you're saying's uptown, right? You know, that I don't understand what you're talking about. But anyway, we were driving uptown one day in Papaw's white pickup truck, and we got to following a nice new compact pickup truck. Nice. You know what I'm talking about? Nice one. In fact, it said it on the back of it, N-I-S-S-A-N, Nicen. That's what Papaw thought it said. He said, "I'd love to have me one of them Nicens." He said, "In fact, if I had that Nicen and he had a feather, we'd both be tickled." Some of y'all get that on the way home. But anyway, so that's kind of where envy starts. When we see something somebody else has, but then the enemy drives that. I mean, he gets on that train and he drives it, causing us to look at what they have and want it for ourselves, so much so that we want to take what they have. And it drives everything that we do. And it becomes a position of our eyes so that we see something somebody else has and we can't be happy for them. It starts welling up within us bitterness. Bitterness that is deeply rooted in the envy that is ultimately coming from the wisdom of the world that says you deserve it. They don't. That your feelings say that you need that, so go after it. That ultimately comes from the enemy. Then there is selfish ambition as a characteristic of following this wisdom. And their motivation is to promote self with a tremendous amount of competition. So if there is envy and bitterness within you, if there is selfish ambition, meaning everything is all about you and no one else, it's all about what makes you feel good, what accomplishes your agenda, with no desire for those around you and the wreckage it may cause in their lives for you to pursue this, then you're following the wisdom of the world or the enemy or this world system. There are some results. Verse 16. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, we saw those in verse 15. There is what? Disorder. Disorder. Confusion. Chaos. No evidence of peace or contentment and no rules. Do you see that anywhere in our world today? Do you see confusion? Do you see chaos? Do you see evidence of no peace? Do you see evidence that people aren't content? That there's not a peaceful attitude going on? Is that evident anywhere in your world? That is the results of following after a wisdom that is not of God. Clear. That's what the results are. Disorder, confusion, content, no contentment. In fact, what it says that there really are no rules. That's what disorder means. Disorder comes from the reality that there are no rules. It just says that anything and everything goes, whatever makes you feel good. Which then just leads to tremendous chaos and confusion and disruption. We continue on verse 16. He says, for where envy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and what? Every kind of evil. I think it's time, Christians, that we call it like it is. That we stop sugarcoating what's going on. The truth is, the results of following after this wisdom will be every worthless and vile thing will become good in the world's eyes. In fact, what is going on will be recognized as good for nothing. Never following after what God intends to happen. The end of verse 14, I want to touch on that for just a second. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't brag and deny the truth. Is there any bragging going on in our world today? I think there's a lot of bragging for choosing a way of life. And by doing so, you've denied the truth. I think there's multiple levels to what he means by the truth. Ultimately, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the what? Truth. Anyone who wants to come to my Father's got to come through me. That's what Jesus said. And so to deny the truth means ultimately, first and foremost, we're denying Jesus. Because all knowledge and all wisdom is found where? In Him. That's where it begins. We're also denying the truth of the Word of God, the truth of who God is and who He created us to be. And that is the results of following after this type of wisdom. But praise God, that's not the only kind. Amen? Did anybody else but Harry going to say amen? That's not the only kind of wisdom there is. If you notice the second point in your outline, to live by wisdom from above. There were two different options for medication. Do you remember back to the story and you have a condition? Some of y'all are still sad about the condition. You don't really have one. I'm just kidding, okay? But pretending like you have a condition. You walked in the doctor's office and he's diagnosed you and he said there are two possible prescriptions you can take. One of them you can take and instantly, 30 minutes later, you're feeling great. However, it won't last long. There's another medicine. The other medicine might take a little while to heal you, but when you're healed all the way. It's gone, and it won't come back. You will never again experience these symptoms anymore. It's going to take you a little while to get there, and you're going to take the medication, you're going to think, wow, man, this doesn't feel good. I still feel the same. And you'll go through several days like that, maybe even weeks, but as the weeks go on to months and months go on to years, you're feeling better and better until finally, ha, it's all gone, and you're feeling great. How many of us want to sign up for that medication? Nobody in here? Okay, well then we'll just close our Bibles and go home. That's what God's wisdom is, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a quick fix self-help. It's not a make you feel better all of a sudden. It is a continual, consistent, steady plodding in the right direction. And eventually, we look in the mirror, and we don't look like we used to look. We listen to our vocabulary, and we don't talk like we used to talk. We observe our lifestyle, and we find we don't live like we used to live. And in fact, when we think about there is an end to this life, we don't feel like we used to feel about that anymore. Why? Because there's a better day coming on the other side of the grave. Amen? That is that medication. It is called a right relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ that provides for us a life worth living here and now that's not always easy, but is always worth it. Amen? It's not always easy, but it is always worth it. And we have promised for us a prize set on the other side of glory that is never going to be taken away from you. It is kept in the hands of the one who can hold it forever. I didn't mean to get all that excited, but it is an exciting thing. It is awesome to think about what God has provided for us. We're going to look at this in verse 17. But the wisdom from where? From above, from God, is first pure and peace-loving and gentle, compliant and full of mercy and good fruits without favoritism and hypocrisy. The source of this wisdom is one place. It's not three places. It's one place. The source of this wisdom is from who? It is from God. James 1:5, we've already seen this verse in our walking through the book of James. James 1:5 says this. Now, if any of you lacks what? Wisdom, he should ask who? God, who does what? Gives all? How? Generously, without criticizing, and it will be given to him. What we find, ladies and gentlemen, if we need wisdom, quit looking in all the wrong places. And just start praying. Quit looking in all the wrong places and just start praying. God gives us a promise here. And God always has and always will keep his promises. And he says, if you lack wisdom in an area, then just ask. And I'll give it to you. I'll provide for you. I won't shake my finger and tell you if you had just asked earlier. That's not what God's going to do to us. He's not going to criticize us or belittle us. He's just going to provide the wisdom that we need. For every good and perfect gift is from where? It's from above. It is from God, and he desires to provide for us this wisdom. Now, let me do a little caveat to this. When we pray and ask for that wisdom, sometimes we got to wait a little while. Hello? Sometimes you got to wait a little while, and sometimes that wisdom comes through circumstances that we don't like or that we don't want. Anybody else tracking with me? I didn't hear any amens on that one. That's not fun, is it? That wisdom that we're desiring sometimes comes as we walk through the fires of life. But God will provide wisdom. What are the characteristics of this wisdom? Notice they are numerous. We find that in the second part of verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first what? Pure. It is sincere. It is a sincere spiritual character of integrity, pure desires to do God's will. This is a characteristic that hates sin but loves the sinner. Did you catch that? When it's pure, it hates sin, but it loves the sinner. This is an individual who wants clean hands and a pure heart. Comes before God and recognizes, look, I'm a sinner, and I live among a people who are sinners, and I need you to purify me. I need you to clean my heart. The second characteristic is what? Peace-loving. The second is peace-loving, an individual who loves and pursues harmonious relationships. Desires for everybody really to get along with as much as is within you. You pursue peace with those that God puts in your path. In fact, Jesus says one of the Beatitudes is, blessed are the peacemakers, those who desire to make peace. The third characteristic is gentle. This is someone who is sweet and reasonable, who is humble and patient. This is a characteristic of meekness. Some of your translations may say meekness. The greatest example of meekness was Jesus Christ on the cross. The greatest example of meekness. What I mean by that is meekness understood is power under control. Power under control. You'll never see any greater power than what was demonstrated by the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no greater power that has ever existed than what exists in him, right? Yet he stood and let people beat him. He stood and let people crucify him. Could have stopped it. He had the power to, but meekness is power under control to accomplish God's purpose. So when you and I are following God's wisdom, it will be that we are gentle, that we will allow individuals and circumstances to take place so that we will let God accomplish his perfect will. That does not mean that you're a doormat, okay? That does not mean that you stand around and let people abuse you. You understand that? Did Jesus ever show any righteous indignation? He cleansed the temple, didn't he? He braided a whip and drove people out, right? So it's not that we just stand by and let any and everything happen to us or around us, but we let God drive that. Not our desires or our ambitions, we let him drive it. These individuals are characteristics, one of the characteristics of these individuals is that they are compliant. They are willing to yield, not stubborn, willing to listen and reason and be persuaded. You're willing to listen specifically to the Word of God directed by the Spirit of God to mold and to guide you. Willing to listen to what God has to say and change your perspective if necessary. You're willing to listen to the advice of a godly man or woman that God places into your life and let them speak into yours. This is a person who loves mercy, a concern and compassion for others. Now, the characteristics is that there will be fruit displayed in your life. The end of verse 17 says, full of mercy and good fruit. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22, we have a section of scripture where God gives us the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5. Anybody know what the fruit of the Spirit are? Begins with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Some of y'all added some. That's okay. Let God do those in you too. That's awesome. Those are the things that will come out of us when the Spirit of God is working through us. That's what he means by there will be fruit, or good fruits will be produced in your life. The source is God. The characteristics are clear. What are the results? The results are found there at the end of verse 17. Without what? Favoritism and hypocrisy. Without favoritism. If when we're following God's wisdom, as we've already seen in James' letter, we will love everyone the same consistently. You're going to love everyone the same, loving them consistently. Without hypocrisy, meaning you're not wearing a mask. You're being real and genuine and recognizing this as you live your faith out for those in front of you. Verse 18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate what? Peace. Fruit is sown in peace and becomes seed that reaps more fruit. As you sow, shall you reap. It's a biblical principle. What goes around comes around. What you sow, you will reap. And when we are sowing with God's wisdom, we find that if we are sowing in peace, we will ultimately reap peace in our lives. It will be a result of us following after God's wisdom. Every single day, ladies and gentlemen, we have a choice to make. We have a choice to make as to whether or not we are going to walk in or follow God's wisdom or the wisdom of this world. But far too often, I don't think we even consider wisdom or what it means to be wise. I think we boil it down to right and wrong, don't we? I mean, you get up in the morning and you're faced with an opportunity. You're faced with an opportunity to do something, and the first question oftentimes that goes off in our minds is this right or wrong? Should I do this or not? And when we're thinking about right or wrong, we're thinking about, well, what are the consequences of doing this? Or have I heard anybody say I shouldn't do this? When in reality, we need to be saying, what is the wise thing for me to do? Because there is a difference. You see, right and wrong questions seek to draw a line in the sand and say that if it's wrong, it must be sin, and so I'm going to see how close I can get to the line without sinning. How many of us stand there? Well, a lot of us do. But we ask the question is, what is right and what is wrong? And if it's right, then I can stand here. If it's wrong, I can't. And what we oftentimes do is see how close we can get to the line without walking over. All the while, we're not thinking about what's going on around us. We have an enemy that's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. And he has tactics. And we've learned about those tactics. Those tactics are temptations. And he knows when we're standing really close to the line and all it's going to take is one juicy opportunity with a hook embedded in it on the other side of that line. And before you know it, you didn't plan to be there, but you're standing knee-deep in a sinful situation. How did I get here? You ask right and wrong questions instead of asking the question, what is the wise thing for me to do? Asking for God to bring down his wisdom into your heart and into your mind and start asking questions like, okay, based on my life and how God has wired me, is it a wise thing for me to engage in this opportunity? Based on what's happened in my past and who I am and what's going on in my life, maybe I'm not in a very good place. Maybe I'm driven by my emotions right now or things aren't going really well. What is the wise thing for me to do in this circumstance? Instead of right and wrong, we need to be asking the question, what is the wise thing for me to do? We are bombarded daily with opportunities. Many of them go off in front of us on a little device called our phones. It's not about right and wrong. That will get you in trouble every time. It is, God, give me the wisdom to know what to do in this situation. Because if we always ask right and wrong questions, we'll always be living on the edge of sin. And all it takes is a small, insignificant opportunity, and we're over the edge. The wise individual, led by the Spirit of God, recognizes where sin is and takes at least one step back, letting God guide our direction. Stand with me, please. In just a few moments, we'll have the opportunity to participate in the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. a table that Jesus prepared for his disciples prior to his going to the cross. And he instituted this for the church, for us, years later, to celebrate what he provided. But a question you need to be asking yourself this morning before we participate in this is, have you received God's wisdom for salvation? Timothy's letter from Paul reminds us that the scriptures are able to make us wise unto salvation, revealing to us who we are and who our Savior is. Has there ever been a moment in your life when you've embraced Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? If you realize that there is a bomb that has gone off in your heart, that things are not right between you and God, right where you are, in the next few moments, you can pray surrendering your sin to your Savior, and he takes it and embraces you and gives you a brand new heart. If that's not happened for you, you can do that right where you are in the next few moments, or you can come forward. I'd love to talk with you about what that means. The second question is this: what source of wisdom are you living by? I mean, what's driving your life? What's driving your thought process and how you're living? Is it the world or is it God? Is it the enemy or is it God? Is it your flesh or is it God? These next few moments are for us to cry out to a holy God who desires to give us wisdom. That we would know where we are, we would know whose we are, and we would know where he wants us to be. This decision time is for us to get our hearts right with him so that we can enjoy and celebrate and remember at the table of our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of your word. That God, you've clearly given us instructions this morning that are difficult, challenging, convicting to our own ways of living. Some here this morning, Father, think that they can get things done on their own, and you've begun to convict them about the reality that they desperately need Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. God, give them ears to hear your voice and eyes to see the path to the cross that they might embrace Jesus Christ today as Savior and Lord. God, for every single one of us, we have a desperate need to be following after your wisdom. There are so many sources that are flying at us, desiring us to follow their ways. God, I ask that you would remove all of that. Reveal to us this morning your wisdom. You promise us that if we'll cry out to you, you'll provide it. And so, Father, I'm crying out on behalf of every individual here that, God, you would pour into our lives your wisdom, that we would rightly apply the understanding and the knowledge that we have to live in a way that will be classified a wise person. Whatever, Father, is hindering us this morning from following your wisdom, reveal that. That we might surrender that to you as we come to your table. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.